All right, this gives me the chance to be able to introduce Kent. Kent Agerlund, great presenter, and we have to have a little bit of fun with this as part of the community. So what I'm going to do is first off introduce him, because I'm glad to have him on board.
Glad to be here.
And in addition to that, what I'm going to do, I'm going to introduce him this way. So Kent is from Denmark, and I mentioned the Marcus O reference that I did before. Marcus is in CDM. Kent is on the other side of the house with our configuration manager guys. Notice the high fashion trend socks there. So as part of this, we thought it would be very befitting if each one of our speakers had something special that they had the opportunity to sign. So these will be part of our Trivia Pursuit giveaway today. Will be a signed pair of socks.
Can I win them?
From Kent. You could win them if you know the Trivial Pursuit question, but you do have to sign them in some capacity. So we'll be putting those over there. There are other ones that are speaker specific as we go through this throughout the day. And with that, I think we're ready to hand off to Kent here. Let me see. There we go. So
thanks for the introduction.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. So welcome to the first session of the day that I've titled Become the Hero in the Data Center with a Limited Budget and Community Tools. It's more or less a tribute to all the people out there in the community who have been building scripts, applications, and so on. So my sole idea is to show the tools that I use in all of my projects. And I use them to spend a lot of time because it automated whatever I do in my daily life. So all of the tools in here, except for three, because we have three world premieres, are tools that I use on a more or less weekly basis. And as Cameron said, my name is Kent. If you think my accent is funny, then just wait till you hear the Dutch guys later. I'm from Denmark, the happiest nation on the planet, if you didn't know that. I've been working with Config Manager for like since 96, 97, and that's more or less all I do. I spend most of my time traveling around the planet here, helping out wherever I can. So the rules for the tools that I've implemented here is that it's straightforward. You need to be able to download them either right now or later today. They must be free of charge, and it can be anything. It can be an application, a script, a query, or whatever, and they must provide some kind of a business value. What you need in order to become the hero in the data center, you need to have knowledge of the tools, and then of course you also need to have some superhero outfit. And I have a matching cape here, so. So I have the knowledge and I have the outfit, so let's get the show on the road. And as I mentioned to all who has ever contributed to the community, we really salute you. I spend so much time with Config Manager, and I'm still amazed about how many different tools that we have out there. And as a matter of fact, just Tuesday, I spent some time on an R2 upgrade project, and I found two new tools that that we actually kind of used a little bit in that project. So I'm truly amazed. I've divided the demos into four different sessions. The first one is infrastructure and client tools. And here, what I usually do first before I start installing anything is I install the database. So before I start my configuration manager installation, I always go in, run a community script that has been out there for about 2 years that will allow me to specify the number of database files that I want to have, the exact size of the database files, and so on. The reason for me doing that is because I like to have kind of control, and by doing that, I control the entire process of my SQL stuff. A question that comes up very often in the forums is like, I need to install a distribution point, or I need to install a management point. What should I actually install there? Should I install WebDAO? Should I install IIS? Should I install .NET Framework? And the truth is that that answer is actually on TechNet, but some of us are actually a little bit too lazy to go in and read the online documentation, even though we should. So we have a Swedish guy who built a prerequisite checker. It's a very nice PowerShell script that you just run on the server, and then it will show up with a bunch of boxes, and you just click the management point, and it will actually install the needed prerequisites for the management point. Very nice. If you want to do installations in like your lab environments, Johan Adenmark and Michael Nystrom, they have built some hydration kits, and those are like a massive download. I don't know if you can see it here, but it's like 222 kilobytes if you go and download the Johan's hydration kit. What it will do for you is it will automate the entire process. So it will build your domain controller, it will build your SCCM server, and will actually have all of that up and running in less than 3 hours. It's super, super good if you like some of us are rebuilding your lab environment often. It will save you a lot of time. Another question that I do get a lot is, how do we troubleshoot client installation? And especially, how do we go around troubleshoot client push? My answer to that is simply, it's pretty easy. Use a startup script. Don't use client push. I'm not saying that a client push installation does not work, because it does work, but there are just so many moving parts involved in that process that can go wrong. You need to go ahead and enable system discovery. Might not be an issue if you have like a minor environment, but if you have an enterprise environment, it's actually, it puts some load on your DCs, even though we have incremental discovery. You also need to make sure that you can access the admin dollar share and that you have a client push account that works in all environments. And the thing is, we don't always have that. So if you want to reach like the 100% of installed clients, you need to have something like a startup script. I have a startup script here that was actually written by Jason, who's in the back there, that I'm going to demonstrate. And that's how I get most of my clients installed in all the projects. For the management part, another question is, should we get grant service desk access to the console? And I'm like, why? What is it exactly that they need? And often they need to be able to troubleshoot failed installations. They need to connect to a client and then look at some log files. They need to restart some services. And they don't really need the config manager console to do that. Instead, we can give them access to Client Center, a tool that has been out there for several years. Right now, it's in a web edition as well, so you don't need to install it locally. And it works very, very well. And for most of my projects, we don't really give Service Desk access to the Config Manager console. The right-click tools, they're like super famous. I remember I was introduced to them down in New Orleans back in 2001. Back then, there was not the same tools as we see today. And they come in many different flavors. And one of the premieres that we have in like 2 or 3 minutes is a new right-click tool from a organization up in Minneapolis, now Micro. And what they have done here is they have changed the way that we use the right-click tool. So normally, the other right-click tools, they're focusing on getting a device to run a hardware inventory or refreshing a policy and stuff like that. But now they're also introducing user management in the right-click tools. So you can right-click a user, you can change the password, you can right-click a machine, you can add it to a group, and so on. So that's a pretty neat tool, and I know that they're going to publish it right after this event today. And once we have everything, we have the clients installed, we have the site server installed, the only thing left for us to do is really to document it. And being a consultant, there is nothing better than documenting what you have done, right? So you'll be very glad to see that we have some free tools out there. We have a VB script, if you like the old-fashioned way of doing it. Garth Jones has a VB script we can use. David O'Brien has a PowerShell script, and he actually has a new version of the PowerShell script that he's also going to publish right after this event here. And it will document the entire process, everything that you have configured in your environment. So let's go ahead and get it started here. So the first thing, and I know that it might be a little difficult to see, but the first thing in here is the SQL script. So as I mentioned, before I start installing anything, what I usually do is I run this SQL script here, and it will allow me to pre-install the database. And it's fairly simple. I just punch in the name of my site code, PS2, And then I go down, scroll down, further down, and then I say, okay, how many files do I want? What should the size be per file? I have that right here. Let's see if we can zoom it in. There you go. And once I've done that, just go ahead and run the script. Once the script is run, it will create the database, and then I'll just run the setup, the config manager setup. So that part is fairly easy. Just go ahead and execute that. The second thing, that is the client installation, and I do know that most of you are very experienced SCCM guys, so I'm not going to spend much time on how we actually do the client install. Well, I'll just go ahead here and say I want to install my clients, do a client push. So what's happening now in the background is that I'm actually generating a lot of traffic. My CCM log file will try to connect to each of those and make sure that they download the CCM setup executable. But the thing is, my clients are not up and running. Some of them don't even exist. I might have a firewall preventing. So right now, I'm just seeing a lot of errors in my CCM log file. Those will eventually turn into errors in my system summarizer. And when my boss sees an error, I have to explain to her, everything is okay, I have everything under control. And of course, she doesn't trust me because the next time she comes back, it's the same. And if I look here in SQL, you'll see when I look in my table here, I have information about all the clients that didn't make it. So it's just going to try and retry that client installation once an hour for a week, generating some traffic that I don't really like. So the client startup script, how does that work? The startup script is super, super cool because it's very easy to implement. And also, Jason did something that not many are doing. He actually documented the entire process. So what I have here is I can go in and specify my site code. I can specify stuff like the cache size that I want to have. I have the location of my client, and that is only the CCM setup executable. So this works in even larger organizations. You don't have to worry about a client in Copenhagen pulling down the entire client directory from a server here in Houston. It will only be the CCM setup. After that, it will query AD and find the local distribution point. Another thing that I really like about this solution here is in the new version, Jason implemented something he calls the R2 hotfix. So for the post-CU or R2 hotfixes, I can just place them in this location, so I will automatically apply all the hotfixes that I have in here. And the way I do that, if you look here, let's just copy that one. Only need to copy the right part here. Sorry about that. There you go. So I basically just paste in the hotfixes that I have and then add them to a folder, and you can have as many hotfixes in here as you want to. It will automatically detect the right architecture, so you don't have to worry about that. Furthermore, in here, Jason also implemented some remediation. So it will check and see if needed services are running, if registry values are there, and if they're not, then he's just going to start the service or make sure that the registry value is correct. This takes me, seriously, 5 minutes. That's all it takes me. Of course, testing and so on takes a little longer. Once I have this, once I've changed my XML file, I'll go and create a startup script. So I have a startup script here in my domain controller. There you go. If I edit the startup script, oops. So that was the shutdown. Not quite the same. So here you are. So that's all we have to do in order to get this running. So I don't have to worry about the client configuration manager log file. I don't have to worry about a lot of errors in here. Of course, I still will have clients that fails to install, but now they don't interfere with my configuration manager environment, which is kind of cool, so my bus doesn't know if I have stuff that is not working. And that works for me. So some of the other tools I mentioned, the right-click tool. So I know that you, most of you already are familiar with the right-click tools, but the thing I really like about the tool here from Now Micro is if I right-click my user, you'll see here that I can go in and do stuff like change the password. I can add the user to a group. So I can do stuff that I would normally have to go into Active Directory users and computers and do. And that's to me, that is pretty awesome. Especially when we look at the devices in here, I can go in and add a device to a group. I can also query the device here for some system information. If I go ahead and query this one here for some system information, well, that one might not be working actually, but never mind. So I do get some information in here that I would have to go in and open up the Resource Explorer to see, and I have to go like five different places in the Config Manager console. So this is pretty neat. So make sure you go ahead and get this one here. As I mentioned, this is like a world premiere, so it's not available yet, but it will be available pretty soon. Then we had another tool, and that is the inventory, the documentation tool. So in here, what I have is I have to add in my SMS provider. I need to tell them where is my site server, where should you actually connect and start documenting everything. I can specify cover page. I'm not going to do that. I can specify my name so it looks like I've been doing something in the environment. Works for me. Company name, that would be SCU 2014. And that's about it. Oops. I could do more. I could do a list all information. That takes about 12, 13 minutes to go through what I would call a medium site, but then you also have full documentation, so if everybody is ever asking, just give them the document and they will never ask you again, which again is kind of cool. So in here, run the script, and David's script will now launch Word, and then we'll put in all the information that you have about your site, and that is drivers, packages, site configuration, you name it, and it's actually in there. That's pretty cool. It's normally here where we have a lot of issues finishing the projects, right? I forgot to deliver in the documentation. The last tool I want to show in this category here, if I go into the right folder, that is a community tool from Rob Marshall that is called the Inbox Monitor. And this is actually a tool that I run like once in a while when I want to figure out if something is wrong or if everything is good in my environment. So just check the inboxes here. What it will give me a total file, number of files for each inbox. And that gives me an indication that, hey, something might be wrong. And right now up here, I can see that in my BGB box, I might have some issues because I have more than 2,000 files in here. So that's the client notification service. So I can use this information here to go in and take a closer look at the client notification log file. And that would be the BGB server on my management point. So when I start looking in here, we see something that we don't really want to see. We see a lot of red stuff. So it kind of gives me an indication that, hey, you need to focus on that one. So this is a minor utility, but it's really helpful, the inbox monitor. So, as a quick intro there, we still have 26 more minutes. For the software update part, that's like, when I go to my customers, I ask them, so how do you actually handle your patch management? And they go like, we don't. We don't have the manpower. And you'll be surprised how many are actually giving me that answer. Some are using standalone WSUS. It's okay. But I mean, if you have Config Manager, why not use Config Manager? I mean, I'm not saying it's dead easy, but once you set it up, you can automate almost the entire process. And when I say almost, that's because I will never, ever fully automate my patch management solution. What happens? Just imagine what happens if you have a fully automated solution and something goes wrong and you're not there. It's not certain that you're going to come back, actually, if it goes really wrong. So we have some tools up here. We have a tool called the Software Update Manager. That's a tool that can take your update group and then automatically create deployments based on your templates. So that's a tool that I use a lot, because I will create my software update group by using the automatic deployment, so the RDA, which is in here. It will create the group for me, and then I just go in, patch Wednesday morning, run the software update manager, and boom, after that I have like 8 or 9 deployments that are all disabled. So I'm still in complete control. Just need to go in, right click, enable, make sure that pilot 1, pilot 2, and so on are actually working. We also have some shutdown tools, because it doesn't really do you any good if you patch your environment and you don't restart your machines. And a lot of the customers that I go to, they're not allowed to restart the machines. It's up to the end user. And when something is up to the end user, we know it usually doesn't happen in the same pace as we would like it to happen. So with a shutdown tool, we can go in and figure out, have you been restarting your machine in X number of days? And if you have not, then we can present a message to the end user with our company logo and a custom text saying, hey, you really should consider doing that. Otherwise, we will come after you. We have some other minor tools in here where we can see your update required by, update superseded by. I also added in some reports over here. The Belgium user group, Kenny, he posted a really nice report that can be used to see how your compliance level are. Esva Conetti, he also has a very good report. And the thing about these reports here is that you can take them and then you can customize them. You can use them as a starter for building your own reports. So let's see here how we can actually build a patch management environment from zero to almost fully automated in just a couple of minutes. And I can guarantee you that I will do it in less than 23 minutes, because that's when they're going to kick me off stage. So what I have in here is, just close down some of this. If I go to my assets and compliance, my software updates, what I want to do is I want to build my collection hierarchy in here. And to do that, I have a PowerShell script. And it will basically just build all of these collections. Once I have my collections, I will go ahead and create some templates. I've cheated a little bit, so I've pre-created most of the templates. So let's just go out in PowerShell. So I have this function library. For this one here, I'm not using the built-in commandlets, and the function library here is also available online, and I have a link of all of them. So what I'm doing right now is I'm just pasting in the information. So in the background, it's going to create all the collections, place them in the right folders, and so on and so forth. And that's like an entire patch management solution. It takes a few seconds to do that. So while we're doing that, let's go in and have a look at the software update manager and how I can implement that one. So the update manager is more or less like a right-click tool as well. So the only thing I need to do is I need to take the XML file here and place in my folder with the other extensions that I have in the admin console. That will give me a nice ribbon tool. So just taking a copy of that, adding that to my configuration manager, admin console, XML storage. In here I have my extensions, actions, and you'll see a bunch of actions in here, and those are created by some of the other right-click tools that I have. Pasting in my own. And then I'm just restarting the console. For those of you here in Houston, if you have any questions, just shout while we're waiting for the console here. So when I look at my software update groups, I have created the January update group, and now you can see I have something called the update manager up here. If I look at my assets and compliance, I should see most of my collections being created by now. I have them here. So just a quick look into the way that I structure things in here. I have my excluded. So forever, for all the features that we are supporting, we always have some devices that for whatever reason we need to exclude. And it also goes like that for patch management. So I would add in the devices in here. And when I have a collection, like for instance, my server automatic, which will include all my maintenance windows. Then in here in membership rules, I will have all my memberships, all my maintenance windows. And then I will make sure that I create an exclude collection and then exclude all the devices that I have up here. So that's a very easy way to control who's going to receive your updates and who are not going to receive your updates. Before I can use the tool, as I mentioned, I need to have templates. So what I can do is I can just create a fake deployment. While I'm creating that, I can create my templates. So this is something that takes me like a few minutes in here. I already have some deployment templates. They're not fully ready yet though, because a deployment template also has to have a collection. And since I just created those collections, they're not fully operational. So I'll just select my server automatic. Select the collection for that. The rest of the settings in the template are okay, so I'll just go to summary, save the template, and save it as server automatic. Go back in general, select the next template, workstation production, associate that with my workstation production collection. There you go, and I'm pretty sure you get the picture. So I would do this for like the 5 or 6 or 7 templates that I have, and save as template. So I don't want to do any of the other ones. So the tool in here that is going to assist me, it will create deployments based on my templates. So right now I have a server automatic, I have a workstation production. So this is what I do patch Wednesday morning. I will go in, run the tool, and say, okay, I want to create a deployment for server automatic, workstation production. Server automatic should have a deadline tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Workstation production, just go ahead and do that today. Create, and it's going to create all the deployments. Usually I would have at least 5, 6, 7, or 8 deployments, but here just for the sake of time. So. Now I have the deployments. There you go. All I need to do is right-click the deployments and go in and click enable. So, I mean, once you have your templates, once you have your collections, once you have your automatic deployment rules, this will take the patch management experience to something like 5 or 6 minutes every patch Wednesday morning. Of course, you still have to do a lot of follow-up and so on and so forth. So the only requirement for this one here is that you actually have some templates. And another thing, notice that you will actually get the same naming standards for all of your deployments, which is kind of super cool as well. So that was building a software update environment in less than 4 or 5 minutes. The other thing I want to mention is the application tools. So I get the same two questions almost every time I talk to someone about Config Manager and the way we handle applications. Can I control so I show a custom pop-up before we do an install? Not for all my installs, but maybe just when I do rolling out Office 2013 or some of the larger applications. Can we show something once the installation is done so that the end user know now they can actually go ahead and use the keyboard and the mouse again? And the other one is the approval thing. It works kind of okay. I can request an application. that part is good. But in order for the other part to actually work really well, my business manager has to be in the Config Manager console constantly monitoring the application request. And she's not really doing that. And I really don't want to allow her into my Config Manager console. So that part is something we would like to automate as well. There are some solutions out there. For instance, there is an orchestrator solution posted by one of the Microsoft PFEs. That's really nice. You can also integrate it with Service Manager. Then you also get the approval flow. But if you don't have Service Manager like right now, and if you don't have Orchestrator right now, then there are some other tools in here. You can also create your own email approval tools as long as you know a little about the flow in here. So let's take a look at that. So the first thing I want to do is I want to request an application. So pretty sure you have seen this before. Just requesting an application. Please is always a good start. I need it for my SCU demo. Going to submit that. So what happens right now in a vanilla Config Manager environment is that this application request ends up in the Configuration Manager console. But what I have here is I have integrated a community solution. So I'm actually getting a mail here. And if you're looking at the time and you find that a little bit skewed, then it's just because it's my server back in Denmark. So what it's saying here is that Kent requested an application, and since I'm my own boss, not really, but for this demo I am, then I will actually get the application request. So I can go in and say, okay, I want to approve this request, or I want to deny this request. I can see a little information about the devices that this user have. So right now, this is not a bug. This is actually my primary devices. I have a long list. Probably way too many. And I can approve this one. Sure, go ahead. There you go. So now, me as the end user, I will receive another mail. There you go. So your application has been approved. You can go ahead and be productive. So how do you create a solution like this? If I go to, this is a production environment, so I'll just walk away from this one here. And then go into my own demo environment. If you take a look in WVMI, then the application request is actually ending up in WVMI, and we have a namespace here called, or a class here called SMS_user_application_request. And if I take a look at that and just create a query here, then you'll see that I have everything. I have the name of the application, I have the person who actually requested it, I have the current state, and there can be like four different states, requested, denied, canceled, and withdrawn. The fourth state is actually not visible, but it's still there. So I have everything. So what we just need to do is we just need to set up some WVMI eventing, and then we can trap the WVMI event, and then basically do a lookup in Active Directory and see, okay, who is your manager? If you don't have a manager assigned, and a lot of companies do not use that, then you can go into the XML file that ships with the community tool here and say, okay, instead of sending it the mail to a manager, just send the mail to Service Disk, and then it will go to Service Disk, and they can go ahead and approve your application. And by the way, this WMI and PowerShell Explorer, that's another free community tool. I use it a lot to browse around the config manager WMI namespaces. And if you want to get to know PowerShell, and especially PowerShell for Configuration Manager, you can go in here, import the Configuration Manager PowerShell module, and then Kaido, he has made an example of most of the PowerShell commandlets in here. So as you import the module and you click downloads from the CM12 SDK website, you will actually see some of his examples. It's a brilliant way to learn the PowerShell command lines in here. So the other tool that I mentioned, if I go into my client, so click install. So what I have in here is I have a PowerShell tool, and what this will do is it will allow you to customize exactly what messages you want to show to the end user and when you want to show them. It also allows you to say, okay, before you go ahead and start installing this application, please tell the end user that they need to shut down Internet Explorer, Microsoft Word, and so on and so forth. And you can also configure the tool so they can postpone the installation for a number of times. So in here, I'm about to install Adobe Reader. Might not be the biggest application, but I can continue that. And now you can see here, I have a full UI, and it's going to show me that the installation takes place. Once it's done, I will actually see a message after the installation saying, okay, now you can go ahead and use your keyboard again. This is pretty neat, right? I think so. There you go, installation successful. I have a pop-up down here, and all of this is something that you can customize. If I look in the tool, let's go in here to my SCCM sources, software, Adobe Reader, and in here I have my Adobe Reader, and you can see I have my PowerShell script. So this is the PowerShell script. There are actually two examples when you download the community tool here. So this PowerShell script is where you go in and put in the command line. Then you can go into the application or the app deployment toolkit, and you can add in your own custom logos. You can go in here and configure what exactly do you want to show and when do you want to show it. Not only do they have examples of applications, but they also have ready-made examples where you can actually download a shortcut. That's another question I get a lot, especially from people who have been migrating maybe from other products. They say, hey, back in the old product we had, we could actually go ahead and deploy a shortcut. And I'm like, sure, you can do that in SCCM as well or in Config Manager. You just create a CI. You don't need to create an application or anything like that. Or you can use the app deployment toolkit in here. So far, we have email approval, we have the customization of our app deployments, we have built a software update environment, we have looked at the client installation. The next thing we need to look into is the OS deployment part. And the OS deployment part must be that feature that raises most questions in the forums. And I have not counted, but I would think that the number one question is something about drivers and driver management. How do we actually handle our drivers? How do we go ahead and import them? Should we do a total chaos? Should we create packages? And it takes an awful long time to create our packages and stuff like that. Another question is, how do we automate the process? Because here we really would like to automate as much as possible, and especially the front ends. I would like to be able to control the computer names. I would like to be able to control that this computer here ends up in this organizational unit, and here we have this keyboard layout, and so on and so forth. And we do have some really cool tools out there. Of course, we have the mother of all tools, the MDT. It's not really a community tool, but I still just wanted to add it in here. For the front-end parts, Johan Avelmark, he has something called the Pretty Good Front-End. It's been out there for years. Very, very good front-end, easy to implement. Niall Brady, Windows Noob. He has a BitLogger HTA frontend. That is what I would call a real enterprise frontend. He has a video on his blog where he explains how the frontend works, and it allows you to do backup. There is a USMT, enable BitLogger. I mean, it's really meant for the enterprise, and I know that he has been spending many, many, many weeks developing this frontend here. We have a frontend that I'm actually going to publish right after I've done this demo here. This frontend will take you from zero to an almost ready HTA, or sorry, OSD solution. So we will go ahead, create the boot media for you. We will create the collections for you. We'll create the HTA for you. We'll even create the accounts that will pre-stage the machines for you. And then, of course, we have Custos Web Services that are being used by many of the other community tools. So let's have a look here. The first thing I really want to do is I want to import, automate the way that we import our drivers. Oops, it's not here. So in my driver packages, this is where I have all of the packages. So when I import the packages, they will just be added in here. I will have a folder created automatically. I will have a make, I will have a model, and I will have the operating system. So it's like three levels deep. In my driver sources, this is where I will add in all my driver sources. And when I add a new driver source in here, and I've just done that for the Surface 2 Pro, then I run the import driver script, and it will automatically detect the drivers that I've already imported, and then it will only import the new drivers. And what it will do is it will import the drivers, assign them a unique category, make, model, and operating system, create a driver package called make, model, and operating system. So once it's done doing its job, all I gotta do is go into the console here, look at my driver packages, it will create the folders, and then in here, just go ahead, and there you can see I have this Surface Pro. It's not done yet. I've never seen Config Manager import a driver that fast, so it's still running. But all I gotta do there is now go ahead and then distribute the driver. The other thing I want to show, and now I will actually, in 3 minutes and 25 seconds, create a full OSD solution. So if I go into my D drive here, lab files, community tools, then in here I have the HTA installer. So the HTA installer here, it will prompt me for an installation folder. So I'm going to create an HTA. I need to place the files somewhere. I'm going to point out the folder that I call SCCM sources. So I have that here on the iDrive. SCCM sources OSD. I have an HTA user. My domain is called Via Monstro. And the HTA user is a user that I have pre-created. It's just called cm_HTA, and the password is the super secret password. And the reason why it's in clear text is because I fat finger it so much and so many times. So the second you click away, it will actually just, I already have just 2 seconds here. Just need to ensure that I have deleted that one. So right now it's creating everything, creating the boot image, it's creating the OSD structure, and it will take like a couple of minutes to do so. So while we are waiting for that one, what I have done here in the other environment is I have already installed it. So the way it looks is that you will have a boot image. Here you have custom boot image. You just need to enable HTA support. When you boot on up on your boot image, it will look like this. So I can go in and say, okay, I want to have a Windows 8.1 image. It should be a developer. I want to have a custom name. I want to have a primary user. I want to enable the English language, USMT, and so on and so forth. And then I basically just go ahead and click install. The cool thing about this tool here is, if I minimize this one, if I go to my assets and compliance, and if I want to change the tool, like for instance, create a server 2008 R2 image, the only thing I need to do is go into the OSD, to roles, and in here, I just need to go in and create a new folder. So when I create a new folder in here, it will create a new option in my HTA, no code, no nothing. And when I go into the folder and I create a new collection, then it will automatically allow you to create a new image. So for instance, if I go into my Windows 8, create a device collection in here, OSD Windows 8 SCU image. Just create that one. And for the sake of time, still have 18 seconds here, I'm going to run the HTA directly. So you can run the HTA by running the VB script. That will allow you to pre-stage machines. So if you want to pre-stage machines instead of showing the HTA in there. So I'm clicking Windows 8, and there you have the Windows SCU image. Click that one, and boom, it will automatically create the account and place it in that collection. So the only thing you got to do is you're going to take the task sequence that ships with the solution, and in there you can say, okay, if this variable is true or SCU, then go ahead and install those applications. That's pretty cool, right? You can say, okay, that's pretty cool. With that, I know this is not readable, or you can't read it, but you'll get the slides. But that's just a list of the resources. And I'm a big fan of the community. So what I will end up with saying is just enjoy the rest of the day here. And if you haven't hugged a community contributor today, please go out and do so. I think you will have like 5 minutes before the next guy comes on stage. And with that, thanks a lot for coming.